now with my as an athletic trainer, worked in the collegiate setting at the NAIA and Division I level as an assistant athletic trainer, instructed classes in an education program. And then I went and worked on the railroad as an athletic trainer.
And what did you do on the railroad? Were you laying the tracks?
No, they did let me drive a train, which it's not that hard, and it's probably not kosher that I say that, but that's okay. I did injury prevention and health and wellness education in a system in the Midwest, and did presentations to groups on all three different shifts throughout a month. So I saw roughly 800 workers in the industrial setting working, you know, repairing. They repaired engines on locomotives and did car inspections. And I worked to help repair them. It was a pretty interesting position and definitely made me work outside my comfort zone in a lot of areas that I would never have thought I would have done or somewhat enjoyed, but it was definitely not the most pleasant work environment for those workers or myself. So.
And so one of the faster growing areas in athletic trainer is the athletic trainer that's based in the industrial and occupational setting, mm-hmm. right? And I think the reason why that is because the athletic trainer really specializes in prevention of injury and illness and wellness protection, and combines that with immediate care and clinical evaluation diagnosis. So you take all of these skills and you have some really unique employment history. And so let's fast forward to NASA.
I also got the opportunity to work in corporate fitness and then collegiate rec in the fitness department as well. So that kind of steered me into working more in that general fitness, strength and conditioning area, which then, you know, my job I work for Wiley, like you said previously, and I'm contracted to NASA. And my job then entails being an athletic trainer and, a strength and conditioning professional as well. So I think my abilities and my experiences in the past definitely meld together to make me very desirable for my position, but it made that position very desirable to me. I didn't want to just be an athletic trainer anymore, and I didn't want to work primarily just in fitness. I love both aspects. So for me, this is ultimately a dream job, and then the fact that I get to help people go to space is pretty awesome too.
Right, and so now there's literally this podcast kind of goes nationwide, and I'm sure you got everybody's attention that you are an athletic trainer at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And so you work directly with the astronauts. How many astronauts are in the astronaut corps?
Currently, we have about 47 crew members.
Mm-hmm. And you interact directly with those astronauts that are up on station.
Yep.
And when we talk about station, we're talking about the...
The International Space Station.
And so,
we still have a space program. It's very active. We get that quite a bit as athletic trainers for the astronauts. So.
And so you're dealing with these astronauts, and they're all type A personalities, right? They're human beings just like anybody else. And so let's kind of go through a day in the life of the athletic trainer that works with astronauts. So you start your day when?
It can vary. Usually I start my day around 7:30. I work with two other people that make up our team of astronaut strength conditioning rehabilitation specialists. So between the three of us, usually we have somebody in there early morning to see our early morning people. We have a group maybe that's in there early morning. We have our regulars that are in there in the afternoon, and maybe we have our regulars that are coming in, you know, right around that 4 o'clock time period as well. Seeing those people that are in early morning, interacting with them, you know, and it's similarly to, you know, working in any gym, you want to develop those relationships. So I'm not necessarily just there to watch how somebody's squatting and to critique their form and their technique, although that might be what I'm doing as I'm asking them how their weekend was and, you know, what their day is planned. But, you know, it's building those relationships, because we're going to work with people for quite a bit of time. Our crew, when I say people, in their preparation for their mission, during their mission, and then after their mission. So in that time period, you know, one of my coworkers, Mark Williams, put it really well the other day. You know, as an athletic trainer, maybe I was working with one team that was in their season. So, you know, they have preseason, in-season, and postseason. Well, I have crew members or athletes that are in all those phases of a season at once. Mm-hmm. So I may have people, you know, that I'm working with that are on station. I might have people that are getting ready to go, and I might have people, you know, that are getting back from or doing the reconditioning aspect. So that makes up, you know, working with those individuals, you know, makes up different parts of my day. We also are in charge of doing the ARED PT. And
let's,
so
let's back up, right?
ARED.
You and I know what ARED stands for, but you have literally, I think other than maybe six people on this planet understand what ARED is. So back up and explain to our listening audience what when you talk about, and I kind of want to back up here, you're getting ready, you're getting the astronauts ready to go up on space.
Uh-huh.
So let's just address this. What type of forces, right? So they're going to launch out of where? When they go to space, they're launching out of?
They're launching out of in Russia, uh-huh. near Russia.
Okay. And they're going to be on a rocket called a Soyuz.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're going to take off, and they're going to reach how many Gs?
Oh, that's a question for somebody that doesn't work in a gym, probably.
So
I don't have that one right off the top of my head.
And so they are flying to space. I think it takes about 8 hours to get there, right?
Ish.
And they have to be kind of cooped up in this little tiny seat.
Yeah, it's probably about, about 100 plus degrees of hip flexion. You're at least 100 of knee flexion, and you're there with two other people, and there's
not a lot
of space.
You've got to be in that position for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And so first and foremost, right, we're working on flexibility. You're working on all those different things. Okay, so you're getting them ready, and then they got to get up on station. So like everybody else in the world, they saw one of the U.S. famous astronauts, Scott Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's all over Time Magazine, all of this stuff. And so Scott Kelly just, you know, he arrives on station, and let's just assume that he's going to follow all the normal protocols, etc. And so, you know, you're dealing with one population that's getting ready to get up there. And now let's talk about the population that's up there. Talk about some of the devices. So what does ARED stand for, and what other devices are there?
Well, ARED is our resisted training device. It had a predecessor called IRED, and before station, we didn't really have a need for a resistive training device. So that's
why?
What that was developed.
Why?
They were short duration missions. Most shuttle missions. Last shuttle mission was in 2005. So prior to station, the assembly of station, and then being on station, nobody was there that long to have some of the effects that space has on our body.
So what's the difference? Shuttle mission lasts, 10 to 14 days?
Roughly, about 2 weeks, yeah.
When somebody goes up on station, the normal length of stay in space is for how long?
About 6 months.
So there's a huge difference, right?
Yes, yeah.
There's a huge difference of what space is going to do on the body.
And so what we do and what ARED does, and our other two devices up there, T2, which is our treadmill, and Cevis, which is our ergometer, kind of our bike. It kind of acts more like a unicycle than uh-huh. any bike that you'd see, like in a gym or a fitness setting. But prior to that, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but prior to that, we didn't really have a need for it. But we know that we do now, because we see, muscle loss, we see bone loss because of those extended stays, those long duration stays in space. So
then that's the second population. And now the astronaut comes back down, and, they just come down to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and they got to get on a plane,
and
NASA flies them back home. And then they're back with you.
Yeah. Right. First, they got to get out of Soyuz, which they're assisted. They have a great team in Russia that gets our returning crew out of Soyuz, and they carry them out. And there's medical testing that's done right there on site.
What kind of medical testing? Without revealing too much.
Yeah.
They're testing to what? Make sure that.
Primarily to see how things are. Yeah, exactly. That everything is pretty well okay, that they can safely put you on a helicopter that will take you to the airport that mm-hmm. will put you on a plane and start the journey back home. Our crew members direct return from Russia when they land. So we usually will see them about a day later from mm-hmm. when they land to when they come back to Johnson Space Center, and their ACER that's assigned to them starts working with them.
Starts the reintegration rehabilitation protocol.
Yeah, we call it reconditioning. We want to, as you had mentioned, part of our group, we have one strength conditioning professional, and we have two athletic training professionals. So we're all assigned to different crew members. So we work, somebody's entire prep flow, which is 2 years prior to launch, their mission, and then their reconditioning. So they land, R plus one, return plus one, they mm-hmm. start working on stuff. And so we refer to that as reconditioning. And depending on the individual, we start everything relatively easy, mm-hmm. so to speak. We're looking at their strength. We're looking at their balance. We're looking at their proprioception. We're looking at neurovestibular function, in a lot of different ways, and then providing exercises based on that. And usually our reconditioning lasts about 45 days.
So you mentioned, I'm not quite sure if our listeners picked up on it, you're getting them ready for this for 2 years.
Yeah, so usually our crew member is assigned to a mission 2 years prior to their mission. And so we know as ACERs and other people in the exercise and medical aspect of at NASA, the better we can get somebody beforehand, the better they're going to feel in space and the better they're going to feel afterwards. And I think, most athletic trainers can relate to that when our either if we're working in the industrial setting, in a sports setting, the better you can get somebody prior to an event, whether it's work every day mm-hmm. as, a factory worker or, a football player or soccer player, however best you can condition them for their job to meet those demands, they're going to be more successful doing that. You're going to prevent other issues.
If there are
issues.
Any injuries or anything like that, the better off they're going to be able to recover.
Exactly. So, that's why it's
so these are all the same concepts, basic concepts. Obviously, you've got some specialized training specifically in that industrial and occupational setting. So let me ask you this question, right? A lot of people are probably going to listen to this and are going to be like, wow, I want to be an athletic trainer and I want to work with NASA. What are some of your recommendations?
Well, honestly, I never would have thought I would have worked for NASA, let alone, work with astronauts. Driving, to JSC every day for my job is still pretty pinch me, unrealistic. But I think just my passion and my desire is a huge aspect for not only me getting the job, but for anybody else. I mean, I have a huge passion for athletic training and for fitness, exercise, and strength conditioning. So I've made myself, that's my driving force for learning more, for applying more. Find your passion. Like, mm-hmm. that's what's going to get you where you want to go. And, you might kind of weave a little bit on the path, and that's okay. I certainly did, but I don't feel like I would have gotten the position that I have, which it is a dream role for me. I never knew this job existed, but being able to integrate the aspects of athletic training and exercise together in the role that I have is a dream job for me. It's just icing on the cake that I get to work with the people that I get to do, not only on the team that I'm at with ACERs, but then the crew members, because they're pretty awesome. And they do a lot, just being astronauts and the work they're able to do when they're on missions and the experiments and the science that gets to happen and how that translates then to so many aspects of what we do as people, but then also in the healthcare profession and also in athletic training. It's tremendous.
And so inquiring minds want to know, have you ever gotten a call from space?
Yeah, I have. Pretty funny when you see a
like
number
I'm sorry,
pop up.
I have to step out. Oh, what's so important? Well, this is space. So tell us, I don't want to know the contents of the call, but kind of tell us the what happened. So you're there, maybe you're at dinner or maybe you're whatever it is, and the phone rings. So set us up. Where were you? The phone rang and it's one of your patients that happens to be an astronaut that just has a question.
Well, I mean, we're actually all in our office not too long ago, and we get a call, and it's like, oh, well, you see this number that comes up, and you're like, pretty sure this is the number for the space station. So it's not like we can call them back necessarily, but...
Sorry, I have to put you on hold. Could you imagine the data charges for that?
We just let it go through mission control. It's all covered. But yeah, so, you know, crew has maybe a question about... You know, maybe one thing that you've changed in their protocol, because everything they're doing on the pieces of equipment, you know, that are our countermeasures for the effects of the body on space. You know, we do all that and we adjust that accordingly based on their needs and kind of what's going on. And just like any other person, when you're working with them on any other program, you know, you're ready to adjust and be very fluid based on what's going on. So anyway, it might be something simple as that, and that can be addressed pretty quickly. And then they, you know, want to chat because they're a person too, and they might be up there with five other
people.
And
they're just up in this box.
And they just want to know what's going on. They want to hear the juicy gossip, maybe, or something. Hear some jokes. Hear the old familiar laughs of the nice acers in the gym. So.
Because they're gone for 6 months.
They're
right?
on for probably a little more than 6 months. They usually leave about a month prior to launch to go to Russia to complete some training and some of the formal ceremonies before they fly. And yeah, so really the last time you see your crew member is probably depending on the length of their mission, which can be adjusted based on, you know, all the things that are going on launching people into space, you know, but you don't see them for like 7 months. So you develop a relationship with that person, just like we all do with all the people we treat. And it's nice to chat.
And that means kind of psychologically for them too, you know, if they're married or they have kids, they're not going to see their spouses for 7 months. They're not going to see their kids for 7 months, or they're going to be up in space and they're going to miss birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, all those different things. And so there's a whole psychological component to what you all are doing too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really valuable and really important, the work that our crew is doing. And we're happy to be someone that, you know, in a group that helps facilitate that and provides them with, you know, the resources like ARED, T2, CVIS, to be able to do that and to feel good. A lot of them, you know, maybe aren't huge exercisers prior to launch, but, you know, they see it as not only a way to improve their health or to maintain their health, I should say, but then it is a big release for them to take that time to be able to do some exercise on their own and kind of have a little me time up there too. So
we're going to wrap up here because I think Ryan Collins is probably going to get in. He's going to be talking about something that you may be interested in. It's returning the injured shoulder.
Yeah, we the average age of our astronauts is in the mid-40s for our men and early 40s for our women. So as in a person ages, you know, we see an increase in injuries in active individuals. So that's no different from, you know,
anybody
an
else?
Astronaut or anybody else. So.
And so one of the things about the astronauts too, I mean, these are some of the smartest people I've ever met, but there are engineers and physicists and physicians, and I mean, they're just normal people.
They're normal people. We have quite a spectrum of whether they are military or civilians. We have... Yeah, some of the smartest people who have worked on some of the most amazing things. And, you know, we have people who are former student athletes. We have really highly motivated, highly driven people who, you know, make jokes about silly things just like the rest of us.
And so if somebody wants to learn more about this role or learn more about your path, right, because they're going to go through athletic training school and they want to, you know, look at emergent settings, whether it's going to be an athletic trainer in a physician practice, athletic trainer in a hospital practice, athletic trainer in an occupational industrial practice. Can they get in touch with you?
I've never really thought about that.
And so as you give some more thought to it,
okay.
You know, if that's something that you want to share, obviously that's totally up to you. If that's something you want to share, then we can go back and we can put that information up on the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Oh, okay.
Right? So if somebody wants to get in contact with you, you're like, hey, Stacy, I heard you on the Sports Medicine Broadcast, And I want to learn more about your path and learn more about kind of how to get to that, whether it's with NASA or the police department or the fire department or military, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We'll go back and address that later.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, there's only two athletic trainers right now for our astronauts, and we're not leaving our jobs anytime soon.
Yeah.
So
right.
There's not really an opening.
And so let's there are, and I've gotten this question a couple times, there are two space centers. Right, there's the mm-hmm. Johnson Space Center, the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah,
and there are athletic trainers at both.
Somewhat. There are some that work at Kennedy, from my understanding, with some of the other non-crew individuals that are there. So it's definitely thinking more of like the industrial type job there. I know it's not within the company I work for, so I don't mm-hmm. have a lot of information directly about what their roles are. I know that when and if we are launching out of Kennedy again, it'll be people within my group that mm-hmm. will take care of our crew there.
And so the major difference between the athletic trainers at the Johnson Space Center and the athletic trainers at the Kennedy Space Center is that really the Johnson Space Center, those are the athletic trainers that have one-on-one direct access and patient care with the astronauts.
Yes, our primary role is part of the flight medicine clinic at Johnson Space Center, and we work directly with our physicians, who our jobs are to treat the astronauts.
Great. Okay, we'll let you get back to the conference. Okay. I really appreciate you making some time to come to talk to us and the show and people learning more about it. If and when you decide that you want to share your contact information, we can do that. If not, that's okay too. Again, Stacy Latham, athletic trainer, astronaut strength conditioning and rehabilitation specialist with the Johnson Space Center at NASA. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.